Good evening. Welcome to another
Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Washington, metropolitan area. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum. Along with my co-host this evening, we will be, we have several different states that I can see is already on the phone. But my co-host this evening will be coming out of the Delaware area, the Wilmington, Delaware area, Mrs. Bernice Swan. She will be coming on and she will introduce our guest tonight, which will, again, by popular demand, is 51090 Solo Energy Investment, group. And they're going to they're going to continue the conversation that we had last week. We didn't have enough time to complete. So without me taking up too much time trying to introduce these guys, we'll formally introduce them when we come right back, and I will be right back after this brief message. Welcome back to tonight's show, giving everyone a chance to phone in. I see that we have participants from several or eight different states, so at this time we will go ahead and introduce my co-host, Mrs. Swan, and she will bring on Dr. Parker and his guest. Mrs. Swan.
Thank you, Brother Bilal, and good evening, everyone.
I am Bernice Swan. I am from Newark, Delaware. And tonight I have the privilege to introduce our two very distinguished guest speakers from the 510 Nano leadership team. Dr. Marcus W. Shute, a PhD, PE Vice President of Research and Development. Dr. Shute has actively participated in research and development, engineering, agile product and technology development, and manufacturing activities across several technology sectors since 1983. Dr. Shute served as a distinguished member of technical staff at Bell Laboratories, AT&T, Lucent Technologies, Vice President of Engineering at LuxCore Networks Incorporated, an optical networking system startup company, CEO of Shute Enterprises Incorporated, a technology consulting firm, Vice President for Research and Sponsored Programs, and Professor at Tennessee State University, and Vice President for Research and Sponsored Programs, and Professor at Clark Atlanta University. Dr. Shute earned a BS and PhD in Mechanical Engineering at Tennessee State and Georgia Tech, respectively, as well as a SM, that is Material Science degree from MIT. Next, I am pleased to introduce Dr. Reginald Parker, PhD, CEO, President, and Director of the 510 Nano Leadership Team. Dr. Parker is an experienced business professional, entrepreneur, seasoned inventor, commercialization lead, and a solar energy technologist for over 20 years. Dr. Parker serves as Chief Technology Officer at NanoTailor, a manufacturer of functionalized carbon nanotubes and applications, a consultant at the Boston Consulting Group, an international management consulting firm, and a senior polymer process research engineer at Rome and Haas Company, a specialty chemical company acquired by Dow Jones Chemical Company. Additionally, Dr. Parker has taught, researched, and managed programs in various academic institutions, including professor and principal investigator at the University of North Dakota, as well as assistant director of tech transfer, chairman, and professor at Florida A&M University. Dr. Parker holds a SB and PhD in chemical engineering from MIT and Georgia Tech, respectively, as well as an MBA from Florida State University. At this time, I introduce to you Dr. Marcus W. Shute.
Okay. Dr. Shute, Dr. Parker, are you available? Okay, we don't have Dr. Shute on, or we don't have Dr. Parker. All right, we're going to take a commercial break and find out where our guest is at. They were here just a moment ago. We'll be right back after this quick station break.
My Hello? Days have grown so lonely. For you I cry, for you kneel only. Why haven't you seen it?
Hello?
I'm all for you, body and soul.
Okay, we're right back. I think I have reached our guest, Dr. Parker or Dr. Sheets. Are you there?
Okay. We got
well, we will.
Hello.
Shalom
Williams. I'm here now. I was just listening to the introduction and happy to have joined you for this conversation.
Okay, Ms. Williams is the president of the New Africa Business Association, by the way. And Ms. Williams, we're waiting on our guest, Dr. Parker. Don't seem like we have him on the system yet. That makes it nice. I have him connected, but again, I have everyone on the mic. So, Dr. Parker, if you're there, or Dr. Shute, if you're there, we welcome you. Okay, well, we're going to take just a short briefing. Ms. Williams, if you or Ms. Wands have any comments, I am going to check with our sources and see where our guests are located at. If not, we can take a station break.
Ms. Swan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm just great, thank you. Happy to be here. Happy to hear your voice over the airways. And I hope to have a conversation with you in the near future.
I'm so looking forward.
I understand that you've been quite busy yourself.
In many ways, yes, and all very good. There are so many things going on, and that's good. Multitasking keeps us young.
Well, how have you managed to keep it going with, you know, running a business of your own and other areas?
Lots of prayer.
And
lots of support from family and friends.
And that'll just do it too.
And certainly does. And just having the fortitude and to just persevere and just know what you want to accomplish while you're still on this earth. And just day by day getting up, making sure that checklist is there, that you have done something.
The one thing one day I'm going to talk about is that I want somebody to tell me if they know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm an attorney for estates and wills and so forth. And it's hard getting us to understand how the importance of preparing for the tomorrow that we don't know.
The good thing about tomorrow is, and of course, as the scriptures tell us, let today be sufficient for itself. But the good thing about tomorrow is plan for it, and then the higher power already knows how to plan and overplan our plans, and that is sufficient for me, but at least don't enter that next day with no goals in mind.
That's the truth. And that gives you the energy to keep going, because, you know, we live in a crazy society sometimes, not all the time, but things don't always go the way we want them to go.
That's right.
Wednesday, Dr. Parker was supposed to appear on the show tonight, and I don't have the money. I'm trying to get a cell phone.
I have the idea that when you get a master's or get a bachelor's or go to school and train, that's hard if you're trying to also work, provide for a family, live a life, and sometimes you just have things not to go the way you want them to go. But you're right. You have to have some kind of plan, some kind of goal to keep you going.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not for us to know every detail of what, as a matter of fact, not only is it not for us to know, it's best if we do not know. Don't you think? It's best not to know. It's best to look, despite the things that we know are going to be negative as well as the things we embrace as positive in each day. It's best just to go through that day knowing that when you have the strength and the faith to take whatever life throws your way, it's just good to know I'm going to give this day my best. That's all we can do. I'm gonna give it my best.
And if you do that, then basically you can conquer anything before you. And as long as you're not trying to hurt anybody, you can achieve all the goals you have in front of you. And that's the key to trying to run a business, trying to run a family, trying to be a productive citizen. We have a little interference here. I don't know how we can work that out.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the background mute button is. It looks like it looks like after we spoke, some of it muted itself.
Well, you know, we try to get the we try to get this a group together so that we can have a new business association of people who want to bring their businesses together and to achieve. And it's hard when you don't have enough money, when you don't have enough clientele. It's hard getting started. But I think part of that problem is we don't sit down and do what you call a business plan. You know how you have to plan ahead where you want to be the first year, the third year, and the fifth year. We have to teach ourselves about that. And we have to teach, you know, when I went to law school didn't teach me how to run a business. Law school taught me law, but not how to keep a business flowing. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Give me 5 minutes, ladies. Dr. Parker, are you with us?
We're having technical difficulties here.
Yes, it's unfortunate. Yes. Mm-hmm. But
Dr. Parker, any representatives of 5109, are you with us? Again, okay, we will continue with our show. We're going to find Dr. Parker somewhere because he sent in several emails. So we're going to find him. So, again, as you know, the New Africa Business Association, we are Network Marketing and Community Group Investment Group. And we identify African-American businesses, or we identify just about anyone's business, but our special emphasis is on the African-American business. And we try to identify those businesses and introduce them to the community as to where we can shop at those businesses. And then, of course, we try to create new businesses jointly. And this is what our ongoing performance are. Again, those of you who heard Dr. Parker last week, this is a continuation of his show. So hopefully he will remember that and he will be with us as soon as possible. But in the meantime, we're going to have an open mic. So if you're a business person and wish to talk about your business until we can carry on with our regular show, then we're going to keep the mics open. So those of you who are on the phone, until the good doctor shows up, we're going to ask you to introduce your business, introduce yourself, and we will continue with the show until we hear from our guests. So again, I'm going to open the mics up to anyone who wish to introduce themselves and talk about their business, and see if we can get to know you.
I appreciate what was being said in terms of organization of your whatever knowledge you can bring to the table with how to conduct a business. And if you could continue with that, I really appreciate where you were headed with that, because that is the one weakness that keeps us from branching out even further.
And you know, actually, the other part that keeps us from going, we never get set up money. You know what I mean? No one sets us up with enough funds to get started. And I think that if we, like the New Business African Business Association, if we sit down and say, where do you want to be in the next 3 years? And that's a huge goal. Then you put steps to that. What do I need? Who do I talk to? You don't always need money immediately, but you will need money eventually. you have to do what you have to. You have to also have confidence in yourself. You are the best promoter of your own business. But every business, for instance, what is the purpose of your business? If you don't sit down and write down what the purpose is, why are you going to be in business? What are you going to sell? What type of service you going to provide? Because whatever business you come up with, you're not the only one who's doing that business. You have to identify your marketplace. You need a lot of things that you don't know you need. And I'll tell you, you can go to school and learn to do A, B, and C. But unless you learn how to start a business, hold a business, and terminate a business, you're at level one. You'll remain at level one.
Exactly. And keep in mind, although this is spoken as an amateur who nevertheless loves entrepreneurship, it is not designed for the general population to have such knowledge, because then you become too much of a competitor. And so we must succeed in spite of that. And going back to what you said with funds, just as we are not given the funds, we are such a rich, and I'm speaking of the African-American community in general, we are such a rich population that we have to do what has been spoken of on our blog radio, find a way to funnel our funds back to ourselves and not ask anyone else for them, because in asking others for those funds, we become too much of a competition. And so the funds are not going to come to you. Now, that brings me to the point of, and we can roundtable this sometime, whatever our business, large, small, in between, what are we willing to give into that particular, I'll call it bank, so that even though you are generating some revenue from your services or your product, you are also giving something to the group so that our funds can increase. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. You bring up another point, and that is this. You got to put something in the bank. Putting something in the bank doesn't mean you get so bogged down in your own idea and business that you don't stop to see. You don't put something in there, you won't get anything out of it. You're absolutely correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm. 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 In other words, become selfless instead of selfish.
Right. Right. Because whatever you do, somebody, the next generation will do it better than you.
Right.
You know, I live in a community where we had a lot of mom-and-pop stores. And then we had the riots. And for 40 years, this community stayed dormant. It was just dead. But the people in the community, the African-American people in the community, held the mom-and-pop stores together until the government came and what? Revitalized it. And now we're almost priced out of the market.
Right.
Because the mom-and-pop
stores
are not able
Shalor, thanks so much. But I think we do have Dr. Parker on with us now. Dr. Parker, are you with us? Hello, Dr. Parker, are you with us? Okay, he just called me. I know he's about to come on any time now, so we'll just take a quick... I'm sorry, Shalor, why don't you just continue?
Okay.
He's coming, I'm telling you.
I believe.
Matter of fact, Shalor, hold on. I think we have him right now. And we won't delay any more time. Dr. Parker, are you with me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Parker, how are you this evening?
All right. I'm sorry. I do apologize for my late arrival.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn you right over to the audience. We got about, I'm looking here, about seven different states calling in.
Okay, first I would like to apologize. There's no excuse I can give you. I had this on my agenda, and my kids came home and showed me their homework, and I got sidetracked because I was thrilled about how well they did in math. And I am a science, technology, engineering, and math guy, and my second grader is doing fifth grade math work, and I was floored by it. So I do apologize. This is actually very important to me because what we're looking at is clean energy for clean water, clean air, and clean land. And this is the legacy we would like to leave our kids. And so I can't get sidetracked about current math homework or math work in school if we're trying to build a better future for them. So all I can do is say I'm sorry for arriving
late. Dr. Parker, you don't owe anybody an apology when you're talking about educating children. I'm a former principal, so no apology is needed.
No, your time is valuable, right? And life is built upon time, so if I wasted your time, I've wasted a part of life, and I apologize for that. And I do agree that, you know, education is important. And so thank you for being on, and I'm here for your questions. If you have any, otherwise, you know, I can give you an overview in 2 to 5 minutes that probably would generate more questions if you don't already have questions that you would like to ask.
Well, go right ahead.
All right. So what I do and what I've done are linked. What I've done up to this point is we developed as a company over 17 different renewable energy technologies. And we were at the point where we were going to try to carry them to the market. And this is 2008, 2009. And we realized that this was not the market for a new technology for our company. So we extended ourselves into the pipeline to say that if I can do a solar farm, I can take the technology that we have now and put it in a solar farm. So we built 4 solar farms, one of which we sold, 3 of which we still have. And then in our pipeline, we have an additional 60 megawatts of solar farms, enough to, you know, a few thousands of homes. But we looked at the market and said it is better now, given the given the economic condition, just to sell our solar product. So we went and got a contract manufacturer that had global footprint, so that we didn't have to worry about putting steel in the ground. If we would build a solar power manufacturing facility, it would cost us $11 million by using but that's just one facility. Using contract manufacturing, it would cost us $4 million to have access to over 20 different facilities in 5 different countries. So we said that was the better way to go. It was a better spend for our capital, and we will allow them to worry about the headaches of manufacturing. So we have a technology that is captivating, and I say that because every square footprint we produce 90% more than regular solar panels are able to do. And because of our efficiencies, we're able to deliver solar at a better price. 5 cents, 5.5 cents a kilowatt hour without subsidies in any country in the world. Right now, regular solar does it at about 9 cents. So we're about 60% of their cost. And we're twice as efficient. We need less land. And that's the reason it's captivating. It is a tremendous game changer. And that's what we're bringing to the world. And as I shared last week, we're pushing this technology into a place that 750 million people do not have lights. We talk about Africa. We call it the dark continent. It's dark for 2 reasons. One, because it's melanated. The second is when the sun goes down, there's so less electricity there, it is dark. And if you look at it, satellite coverage, you'll see that over 750 million people in the continent of Africa are without power. And if you're without power, the economic development activities that could exist there, the jobs, are not there. And this is what I think uniquely we are able to do. We're able to bring Africa to light. We're able to improve the economic conditions in a lot of Caribbean islands. And we won't forget what we could do here in North and South America. But we want 75% of our business to be in a Caribbean and an African market. So with that said, that's our business plan. That's our technology. That's our competitive advantage. And for every dollar of revenue that we make, we'll be able to generate 25 cents free cash flow. So a 25% free cash flow position is a very strong position. We have about 50% margin, but 25% free cash flow position.
That sounds exciting.
I am excited for a variety of different reasons. My friends and family have funded us primarily to this point. You know, that includes groups like New Africa Investment Group. The managing member is Imam Talib Sharif. His uncle is my father's imam. So that's part of the family and friends network, as well as my father, my brothers, my sisters. So we've gotten this far on somewhere around $820,000 of equity and an addition $1.1 million in debt. And we have a new technology for solar farms, additional 60 megawatts in a pipeline, and we're at the point where we are a growing enterprise. And so we're excited about what we're doing, but in order for us to make this next step, we have to, for a partner, a major retailer, is put in their hands what the ready-to-manufacturing design looks like. What we have to date are prototypes that we've tested at the North Carolina Solar Center, but we have to show them what the ready-to-manufacture facility looks like, and we're raising money to do that. And once we've done that, we have sales and orders that we're going to be able to push out. So we're at the growth state, and we're financing our business plan.
And where do you expect to be in the next 2 years?
Well, we plan to do about 30 megawatts this year. That'll be about $24 million in revenue. Because we have that many orders. But we have to get to the first step of, as I said, the ready-to-manufacturing, then we get the U.S. Listing, and then we're able to sell the product. But that may actually move out of the fourth quarter into the first quarter of next year, and if that happens, then the 100 megawatts that we plan to sell next year will become 130, and that will put us somewhere around 60 to 65 million if we are able to fulfill those orders. Now, when I say if we are able to fulfill the orders, that means whether or not the orders are truly going to come with the cash that's necessary to move. We can't do it on credit, right? That's not the type of money that you do on credit. But our manufacturer is able to do it. Right now, they service contracts for Boeing, Lockheed, the government, as well as big companies. So they'll be able to handle the work that we'll put through them. They're on the east and west coast of the U.S. They're in Italy. They're in India. So, you know, they have a global presence. They are not in China. I mean, it's important for me to say that because right now 85% of solar panels come from China. If there was a global whatever crisis that happens that disrupts the Chinese market, 85% of solar panels would be disrupted. So we need an alternative for diversity risk.
I agree with that. Now, how much are you trying to pull together financially? What is your cost?
All right, so we're doing it in tranches. The first tranche to get the ready to manufacture is a $50,000 tranche. Second tranche would be $650,000. The third tranche would be $3.3 million. But the thing is that each tranche allows us to reduce the risk for the next tranche and make it a lot easier. So the first tranche, that $50,000, and we know that we're going to have to raise it from a small number of people, allows us to put up the ready-to-manufacture system so that folks can see how the final design looks, feels, and works. Not the prototype, but what we're going to be selling to everybody. It also allows us to send it to UL. But that second $650,000 is going to pay for the UL. It's going to pay for, and UL is in the United States. IEC is outside of the United States. It's also going to pay for us to be ISO 14001 in all of our manufacturing facilities and those type of things, and also to secure the first part of the insurance behind our warranty. The other $3.3 million is working capital to push out the first 30 megawatts, and then after that it should be self-funding.
Wow.
Okay, Dr. Parker.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. You were saying that 85% of all solar panels are produced in China, and 51090 are inventors of these solar panels. Now, tell me more. With that said, the small market that you have to introduce to those of us who would like to go into business and work with you directly, and especially now that we know that 85% of these solar panels that is going up on everybody's homes are coming from China, and we are here an African-American company that is an actually inventor, and not only an inventor, but you can actually improve the technology of these inventions that are coming in. So we would definitely like, I would like to know more about how we collectively can invest in the small business market. And of course, we're interested in joining you in your ventures in the Caribbean and the other different places that you're going. Also, repeat to me, you said 160 megawatts. That would equal to what type of income?
130 megawatts. And okay. And that is basically we're going to charge 80 cents a megawatt. Okay? So that's at about $100 million in revenue. But when you look at free cash flow, they're talking about $25 million in free cash flow. And you derive free cash flow by looking at your earnings, and this is after you pay all of your bills and what's left in the bank after everything's paid for, including taxes. So
wow.
These are your true profits.
So now,
But
you feel good about this, right? I mean, you feel excited about it. I mean, for someone who's hearing it for the first time, will say, "Oh, wow, that's too much." How do you keep people to? How do you get people to know that is not too much? It can be done, and it will be done.
Well, I've been in the solar business for a minute, right? And right now, I have a 30 megawatt solar development in Virginia that I'm selling to a major company, and what that means is that I have land control, I'm securing the permits, I'm securing the power purchase agreement with a major third party, and, you know, basically they're buying the right to build it from me. And they're going to pay a few million dollars to do that. Because a 30-megawatt facility will cost them in excess somewhere around $40 million, but it will make them something like $60 to $70 million over the lifetime of the project. So it makes sense for them to do it. They're going to need solar power to be able to do it.
Wow.
And they're going to be looking at panels that perform the best. So I explained it to one of our organizations that are looking to buy our system. Now, I told them, I said, forget about thinking about how many megawatts. I said, don't think about it that way. And he says, why? I said, megawatts is just how big it is. Let's talk about what you really care about. And what you care about is kilowatt hours, because that's the electricity that you use. So if I were to put on the top of one of these big box retail stores, 250 kilowatt solar system from a regular solar system, let's say I do it in Atlanta, I'm going to need 200 feet by 270 feet to generate just over 300,000 kilowatt hours a year. That's 200 feet by 270 feet. Right? Those are the dimensions. With our technology, because of its efficiency and how much it generates, I'm going to need 200 feet. And you remember, on the other standard solar PV, I need 200 by 270. But this one, I need 200 by 180. I don't need as much space.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Second, for the standard solar, and I'm still producing 300 kilowatt hours a year with less space.
Right,
for the first one, it's going to cost me about $350,000 to build it. For the second one, it's going to cost me $225,000 to build it. I'm able to charge a premium for my product, but they're going to need less of my product to do the same amount of work.
Now, that sounds sounds very interesting. How do you protect what you have and to keep somebody from stealing your great idea?
There's three ways you do it. First way is this: you patent it. So this is patent pending. We should have the patent soon.
Okay.
The first way you do it is you patent it, and you don't only patent in the U.S., you do an international patent. So we're in the process of making sure that this is an international patent. So whatever we do here in the U.S. will be respected in India, Singapore, Beijing, and Africa, all across the globe. It will be an international patent. Second thing is you put as much as you need to in the patent, and as much as you don't need to, you keep your mouth closed. I used to work at Roman Haas. Dow is now that Dow bought them out. But what we used to do is patent a certain amount, and then the rest of it was trade secret.
Okay.
So that even if they follow your patent, they're not going to be able to do everything you're going to do.
Right, right, all right.
So as an example, one of our chips come from Boeing. So we went into an intellectual property agreement with Boeing because I designed the chip. I wanted Boeing to make it for me, so I told Boeing exactly how I wanted it made, and we paid for Boeing not to be able to do that for anybody else.
Wow.
So they can follow the patent, but they can't get all of the secrets. And the third thing is, don't let that be the technology that you will be using 2 years from now, because you got to constantly innovate. So we've built in 5 years of changes to make this even more efficient than the first one. So there will be version one, we got version two, and we got version three already lined up.
Well, you know, that.
Excuse me. How do you maintain, in terms of maintenance? What maintenance is required on your the solar panels? And also, can you provide any maintenance or assistance to existing customers who have the 85% Chinese-type panels?
All we're going to be doing really is selling panels, right?
Okay.
And what's going to happen is developers are going to come in and builders are going to come in and they're going to buy the panels and they're going to put it on your rooftop, and then they'll sell, those guys will sell you the services. Now, I'm going to be honest. They're selling you the ability to wash the panels and every once in a while check the wires.
Okay.
Okay. But I've had a seven-acre solar farm out in North Carolina for the last 3 years. I go by and visit and show people the solar farm, but, you know, the most of the money that I spend last year, I spent $3,000 to cut the lawn.
Okay.
And I spent $800 because there was a real bad storm, a real bad storm through North Carolina. You all heard about it, that pulled one of the plugs off of one of the panels, and I had to send out the electrician to put it back in.
So what is the lifetime of the panels?
Panels, they survive in excess of 30, 35 years, but you get a 25-year warranty. So our panels will follow the same thing. We have designed our panels to have a 30, 35-year lifetime easy.
Mm.
So, Dr. Parker, we've got about 10 or 15 more minutes here. I'd like to ask a few questions that I know has been asked of me. And number one is, I think you just said it, we have several guests on the phone, and they have land that they like to talk to you about as far as maybe becoming some sort of a partner or an investor. How can 51090 work with them? And, of course, I'm right back to that same question. How can we share with you in selling these panels and other inventions of solo inventions that you're coming up with? I'm still talking about how can I get in and be a distributor maybe in that small market.
Right. So there's two things that we're asking for. One is right now, and the other one is in about a quarter. The first thing we're asking right now is to put together the ready-to-manufacture facility so that we could make the next step for the IEC, UL, and getting that together. Then we're going to ask for a distributor network, installer network, and put them together because not everybody's going to be interested in sales. Some people are going to be interested in, you know, jumping on the roof and putting this thing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a roofer, you're an electrician, you know, this is something that fits right in your belly wag, you know, something that you can do, be a licensed installer very easily. So right now we're raising capital to do that, and I'll share, you know, all you have to do is go to investor@510nano.com. You know, you send that email, I'll work with you, and we got a couple other people on that as we raise money. The second is as we're working through the business development, the distributor at sales@510nano.com, and the same thing will be true for the installer network. So what we will be doing is, and the way that we have it set up is, let's say you make a sale, you go to your local mall, and they agree that they're interested. Well, you order it, and the distribution network will, you will have a login at the 510nano website. You're able to put in the order. The customer will receive the quote invoice, whether or not you send it to them by mail, email, or fax, based on how you put the information in. The customer will then, you know, put their down payment or their whole payment on it. And then it will show up. You'll get your payment. The installer will be told when, you know, the stuff will come. The installer will put it on, and then the maintenance contract will be put into place. So you as a distributor, you know, you'll get paid as the customer pays. You as the installer, you'll get called because the distributor, a salesperson, has gotten you a job. but you will already be, you know, trained on how to do it. So the seller will be trained on how to sell the product, and the installer will be trained on that, because, you know, what I am good at is technological innovation and invention. And I got a series of inventions that I need to put into the market. I'm not going to try to do the sales. That's the reason I'm going to be reaching out to a sales network. I'm not going to try to do the installation. I'm going to be reaching out to an installation network. We already have some distributors that will make it a lot easier for folks to do it, and I'm already reaching out to a contract manufacturer to make it. So it's a way of us growing together with everybody leveraging their expertise to get it done. You know, every McDonald's you go to is not owned by McDonald's. That McDonald's right. couldn't do it all on its own. It had to have franchisors to reach its full extent. We can't do all of this on our own. So if you came to me and say, I have land, well, I have some developers that I can introduce you to who will help do all of the items to pull it together for the development. And that person is also interested in using our technology. So what will end up happening is you'll still be using the technology. Is that I know that I don't have the bandwidth of doing 130 megawatts of sales and, you know, doing a solar farm development. So we've made a conscious decision of getting out of that business. But before we got out, we trained 5 companies from Atlanta all the way up to D.C. on how to do it, so that by us leaving the market, we left other African-American developers ready to take our place.
That's wonderful.
So, Dr. Parker, are we ready right now, let's say, as a sales representative or on the service side, are we ready to become very active in those positions right now? And I know we're going to need training, but those of us who are really anxious about doing this and learning more about it, because I know every day you're seeing these solar representatives knocking on your door, and I am no exception. They knocked on mine, but I want to run my own company. I want to have my own solo distributorship, and especially, I mean, being African Americans and say we have our own distributorship. I mean, there are so many things here to get excited about, because again, we know the competition itself of just having these solar panels, knowing that these things 85 coming from China. I'm not going to get into what is inferior and what is not. I don't know enough about the technology. But I do know that having African Americans to be able to be inventors and distributors of such high technology, I wish I had years and years more to learn, but I'll work with what I have right now. And so I am looking forward to, and all of the others out there that are listening, they're looking forward to or taking a more direct approach and what fighting and direction that they're going. Again, we're going to have you to share as much information with us within the closing. We got about 5 more minutes. And also, hopefully, we can there's a few more questions that anyone like to get in. But Dr. Parker, the biggest thing is make sure that they can get in touch with you. And also, I am going to leave the New Africa. Shalor, you can. I'll leave the New Africa Business Association with you, whereby you can ask questions through the New Africa Business Association. You can send us an email. That's nabassoc.com. New Africa Business Association.com. Our telephone number is 301-234-9090. Dr. Parker, any information you would like to leave? And there will be a time where we will be having Dr. Parker hopefully, where he will be presenting himself in personally, and we can talk more personal about the investments that we would like to make. Of course, we can't hold that conversation over the telephone, over this radio station, but we will. I will coordinate putting all of that together. But like I said, within closing, anyone who wishes to, Dr. Parker, any comments you wish to have, and we invite you to come back. But like I said, you will be coming to appear before us in the near future.
Well, our phone number for 5190 is 877-510-NANO. 877-510-NANO. It's a toll-free call. Our email address, again, for investors, our investors at 510NANO.com. And for those who are going to be interested in sales, it's sales at 510NANO.com. Now, here's the thing. We're not ready for sales yet because we need to finish the ready-to-manufacturing technology so that it has UL certification, IEC certification, so that if you make a sale in Morocco, you make a sale in Baltimore, that it will have the UL cert and it will be totally bankable, represented by any bank, you know, because that's what banks look for. So we'll have all of that done. We're looking to have all of that done by third quarter so that we can make fourth quarter and first quarter sales in next year. And we're going to make sure that folks have all of the training. You don't need to learn about solar. What you're going to need to know is the software so that you can make the sales. The software have everything in it to make it easy for you.
Dr. Parker, I mean, I know first quarter, second quarter, so forth. But some of our listeners may not know exactly when the first quarter begins and when the third quarter begins.
Okay.
So you just,
January of next year is first quarter. Fourth quarter is going to be the October, November, December. Is that right? November, December of this year is when we're planning to roll out the sales relationships and the installation relationships. We'll have a conference where we bring everybody in. We train folks so that by the time you exit the conference, you'll have relationships of people who are doing this, and you'll have access to the software. You'll be logged in the whole nine from A to Z so that you'll be fully functional. And we may have to have two to three, one in Atlanta, one in the North Carolina area, one in the D.C. area. Then, of course, we'll have to have them out west as well, in California, New Mexico, Texas. But we'll have the conferences where we train folks who are interested in moving forward with us.
That sounds like that's exciting.
Okay. Like I said, we're coming up to the closing moments of the program. Dr. Parker, we certainly appreciate your time. We definitely still didn't have enough time. Ms. Williams, I know you have a program coming up next week that's going to be in estate planning. And so, Dr. Parker, if you're not busy, and we invite you to listen in on the estate planning program, and knowing that you're on with us, maybe there's a few more things we can talk about at that time that we didn't get in tonight. So that would be the next Wednesday from 7 to 8. The attorneys and other professionals will be talking about estate planning and financial planning. But Dr. Parker, we would certainly invite you to come in and piggyback on some of the things that we didn't get to say this evening. Again, thanks so much.
I would love to hear.
Thank you so much for my listeners, and
we're going to be saying goodnight with the music. And anybody who wants to comment can comment while the music's playing.
Did I hear you guys say Shalom?
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right?
you hate your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother?